fighting for America.
The notion that the West is at war with Islam is an ugly lie. And all of us, regardless of our faith, have a responsibility to reject it.
Fighting for Idaho.
They're calling us what we are, Christians. And one by one, we form the strongest bond because it's a bond that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And no matter how much they try to oppose him, they will not prevail.
Fighting for you.
If you mothball some of these assets, you know, it doesn't take long for things to start to deteriorate. That's why we insist that they put another mission in here before they pull the A-10 out.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning. We're joined by Ada County Sheriff Gary Rainey with us. Sheriff Rainey, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning. Great to be here.
Now, let's talk a little at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Some issues that are certainly of interest to you and to your staff, but they don't get a lot of run. They should. And that's the mental health crisis in law enforcement. It's an issue that you and I talk about quite a bit, and a lot of people aren't aware of just how many people need help, but there aren't a lot of facilities that do that anymore in the state.
No, we've really lost a lot of resources. If we go back several years, then there were more community resources, there were more government resources, but with the recession, a lot of those dried up. And so what happened, law enforcement becomes the frontline mental health intervention point, and that's not where we want to be. It's not where we should be. Because by the time we go there, it's usually in a real crisis and often become violent. The facilities, again, maintain that the Ada County Jail is probably the largest mental health facility in the Ada County, maybe in the state of Idaho. I know there's a hospital east, but we have about 70 to 80 chronically mentally ill at any given time, with many, many more who are episodically mentally ill. And some of them are so difficult to deal with and really should not be in jail.
Well, and that's the challenge, because in law enforcement, you know, you're either innocent or guilty, and then you have the mental health situation, which does that make it like many shades of gray, or does that disorient the picture, if you will, out of focus because of mental health concerns?
Well, there's a great example that is just still going on, and I'll try to make this brief, but a man was arrested in South Central Idaho and put in a jail over there. Clearly mentally ill, had a lot of difficulty communicating. He wasn't violent. He wasn't a danger, but he stayed in jail for a few days, and we have in the process, in order to stand trial, a need to prove competency. So there's what's called a competency hearing. So that competency hearing was ordered, but before it ever happened, the charges were dropped, and I think probably the officials over there just said, this isn't worth pursuing. So they let him out of jail. He goes to another county. He gets arrested. He stays for a few days, and the charges are dropped, and he gets out. He goes to another county, gets arrested, stays in jail a few days, and the charges get dropped. He's then brought to Ada County because we have a warrant out for him. So this warrant originated for an open container charge. It was $150 for failure to appear when he didn't show up on the open container charge. He stayed in the Ada County jail for 17 days because he couldn't go through the court process. Now, if it was you or I, right, and we had that charge, we get credit for time served in a day and be out. So he's not only in the wrong place, but we struggle to give him the care that he really needs. He was released again after that and has been back in custody one more time. Luckily now, we're going through that competency process, not to prosecute him for the crime, but to really help bring a solution to this. But this iteration over and over and in and out of jails, he's not violent. He's not a danger to the community. But he's a little bit of a danger to himself. In one of the arrests, he was sleeping in a gravel pit in the middle of winter in a sleeping bag. They had good concern for him. Arresting him for trespassing was protecting him, really. But we shouldn't be the ones who are dealing with this. The cost to the citizens of dealing with jail time, the lack of resources. It's a perfect example of, if we just had a little bit of community intervention, a little bit of help, people like him, and there are many more stories, wouldn't be where they're at.
What don't we understand about law enforcement officers?
You know, I think when it comes to mental health, and if we even go back to the Ferguson incident, and of course that was handled terribly by the officials there, but the thing that it's hard, I think, for people to understand is that we never know what we're getting into. When we walk up to you, you are a stranger, and you might be the greatest person in the world. You might be a law enforcement supporter.
Sure.
Or you might be going to try to kill us in one half second. There was a recent video that came out in law enforcement circles about an officer that was talking to to a theft suspect. And everything was fine. He's talking out back of the house. The theft suspect's got his hand in his pocket. It's the middle of winter. I mean, no reason to feel threatened. And all of a sudden, for really no reason, the person pulls a gun out of their pocket and shoots the officer in the head and kills him. And it's that sort of wariness that we have to deal with on so many fronts. I think law enforcement around here does a good job of being compassionate, trying to do the right thing, trying to prevent violence. Sadly, we always have to be prepared for that instantaneous change to where somebody's trying to take our life or the life of somebody else.
What can we do, listening here at 580KIDO, to make the good guys know, let them know that we're one of the good guys? So, you know, it's been a while since I've been pulled over. But, you know, I'm always the hands up and all this. That's probably sending another message. But I want to make sure that everybody knows, you know, I'm not threatening. You know, I don't have my hands covered or anything. But, I mean,
yeah. Little things like that are good. I mean, we're not paranoid about it. We want
not that I'm paranoid when I have my hands over my head or anything.
We're not going to react that much. Right. But it does help to let us know. You know, to talk to us. And,
right.
if you're carrying a concealed weapon, just let us know you're carrying a concealed weapon. We don't care. But it helps. The difference between letting us know or suddenly your shirt slides back or your coat slides back and we see it and don't know your intent, you know, letting us see your hands. We always look for the hands. That's an important thing. You know, it'll never change. We're sadly in what's inherently a bit of a violent business. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we carry guns and tasers and pepper spray and all of those other things is we're that front line of defense, sometimes by the use of force with the community. And that's the place we're in. But the nice thing that's going on now in law enforcement is the real awareness of, again, how do we make sure that we never have something like a Ferguson here? And I really don't think we would, but we can't just take that for granted. How do we keep reaching out into the community? How do we educate people? How do we keep that communication flowing, the transparency of what we do? One of the things that I'm sort of dealing with on a little tangent right now is all of the deputies now have on-body video. So if they're investigating something or they're going to a traffic stop, that's being video recorded. And we wanted that both to collect accurate evidence so it's not a he said, she said. You can see right there what happened. Also for transparency. I want everybody to know what the actions of Ada County deputies are because I'm confident if you know what those are, you're going to know that we did the right thing. At the same time, those on-body videos capture a lot of innocent people. And in our public record laws, anybody can get that. So we have to be really careful of going into people's houses. The way that we talk to them, the conversations become a little bit different.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Tea Party Bob for Sheriff Rainey at 580KIDO.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Sheriff Rainey, I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for the law enforcement officers. They have one of the most difficult jobs that you can imagine. But this morning, I wouldn't want to talk exactly about them, and maybe you can help me out with my mental health problem, which is the answer to a question. And that is, why is it that Idaho has not been able to get constitutional carry in our state? And why is it that you, as a duly elected officer sworn to uphold the Constitution, are not supporting our constitutional right to bear arms under the Second Amendment and allow us to carry firearms open and concealed without a permit?
Well, that's a twofold question.
Yes, it is.
One is, why do we not have constitutional carry? The answer is pretty simple. The legislature hasn't passed that. So there's a bill in the legislature now to consider that. I think there's two bills running, one from the NRA, one from a Constitutional Carry Association. You know, the legislature makes that decision. We enforce the laws. We don't determine the laws.
Do you support that?
When you say my not upholding the constitutional rights, you're absolutely wrong. I don't know where that comes from. But
I didn't say you didn't uphold them. I'm asking why you're not supporting this particular issue. Since you are a sworn officer who is supposed to uphold our constitutional rights.
Well, I guess what is your take on the constitutional carry legislation?
You know, my take all along has been that the rights of law-abiding citizens to carry concealed weapons, I don't have any problem with that at all. I don't want unintended consequences that allow gang members or domestic violence offenders or people like that to be able to carry weapons and victimize others. Law enforcement certainly has a little concern, too, about, just as I talked about, walking up on the car. But that's really secondary to let's not, in the process of giving law-abiding citizens the right to carry guns, unintentionally give criminals the right to carry guns and carry out crimes. And all we try to do is find that balance.
Okay. I appreciate the answer. But, again, we have five states who have had experience with this. That has not been the case where we have had a lot of problems.
Tea Party Bob, we appreciate the call. Thank you. That is a point of concern. What it, and you know, you have former Chief Masterson who's been involved in these public hearings. You continue on to do your job in a non-political way. But back to the gun rights movement in Idaho, from a law enforcement perspective, what is y'all's take, if you will?
You know, it's just like the citizenry. It's very split. Typically, when you get to the more urban agencies of police departments or sheriff's offices, we see the more organized crime, the drug crimes going on, the gang crimes. So you find greater concern. And I wouldn't say it's opposition to law-abiding people carrying guns. We have greater concern about unintentionally giving criminals the right to carry guns. And I think that's really where it falls, is typically the rural counties, just like in rural Idaho, whether it's a citizen, a sheriff, or chief of police, probably more supportive of that open carry because they don't have some of those larger city issues. Generally speaking, across the board, I would say the chiefs and the sheriffs are in favor of Second Amendment rights of people carrying guns. I am. I don't have any problem with that. But again, my issue is I want to make sure that we don't give criminals an easier access to carry out their crime.
How prevalent is organized crime here in Idaho, in Ada County?
You know, the nice thing is we have several different aspects of organized crime. It has kind of gone behind the scenes, and that's good in ways. If you remember drive-by shootings over in Nampa a few years ago, there were many, many of them. Thanks to the Metro Violent Crime Task Force that several of the agencies participate in, we've really driven that down to behind the scenes. What that means is streets are safer for the law-abiding citizens. We do have a lot of drug organized crime that happens. This is a major highway connection for drug pipelines that are coming up from Mexico and California. And you have Highway 95, you have I-84 that lead to other states. So that's natural, and it's become a little bit more sophisticated. And then we have different threads of whether it be from property crimes or, you know, like chop shops and, you know, those come and go. All in all, Idaho's still a great state. I mean, we don't have the equivalent organized crime of big cities like Seattle or Portland or San Francisco or even Reno. But it's here. It is everywhere to a degree.
Can you talk a little bit about the cooperation between you, your colleagues in Canyon County, the feds, the state police? Because that's really where the tide started to turn when people, again, came together from the law enforcement aspect and community and said, look, let's share our resources. And, you know, let's stop the organized crime, the guns and the drugs and everything else that, you know, you had the drive-by shooting. So that's gone away, thankfully, and hopefully it'll stay away.
You know, I'm so proud of what happens here because it doesn't happen everywhere. Relations, which have not always been good, you know, and sadly government's so driven by personalities sometimes. Mm. But relations here are really good. Every month, the chiefs of police and I get together here in Ada County along with the colonel of the Idaho State Police. That was yesterday morning, and you know, a lot of it's just making sure we're solving problems, but a lot of it's making sure that if a problem starts to arise, we can pick up the phone and call somebody else. So we join more and more in task forces and in working together. The Metro Violent Crime Task Force is a great example. None of us have the resources to really go after those big organized crimes, and those are often indictments of 15 to 25 people, and that's just the indictments out of a gang. So we can't do that on ourselves, but by everybody coming together, and there's members from most all of the local agencies who come together along with some of the resources of the federal government to put those serious people. And the nice thing is when the feds are involved, the good thing is it's federal prison. So they're not going to prison in Idaho. They're not maintaining their network. They're going to federal prison in another state. And we've really seen that as a very effective tactic to disrupt the crimes. But it's good when something happens. Whether it's a serious incident, a lot of times the chiefs and I will be on our phones to each other saying, hey, what do you need? Do you need more resources? The other night when there was an officer involved shooting in Boise City and the Boise police officers were drawn to help that because a man was shooting out his front window at the neighbors, then ultimately was shot by a police officer. My deputies moved in along with Garden City and Meridian and just started taking those other calls for him. You know, that's the way it should be. It should be transparent. And we've had many conversations amongst the chiefs of should we even really have separate law enforcement agencies. Fire and EMS services right now are slowly moving toward almost being one agency and responding agnostic of what the patch says. That's the way it should be.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Pro Life for Sheriff Rainey at 580 KIDO. Hello, Pro Life.
Yes, Sheriff Randy said that we want to keep guns away from criminals. That is a big fallacy because there's no way you can keep guns away from criminals. If a criminal wants to get a gun, any person wants to really get a gun, they will get a gun regardless. And so I think...
I agree, but I didn't say keep guns away. I don't think I did. I didn't mean to. Okay. The unintended consequences of letting them lawfully carry a gun to carry out a crime.
Well,
I think his point being, and it's something that we haven't brought up, pro-life, and let me just jump in here, is the idea that you have bad people that all of a sudden they have the same rights but not the same intent that we do. And you say, hey, buddy, you know, why are you carrying that gun? And he might be bullying somebody. He might be using that gun for bad things, and you can't stop him.
Right. There's no reason why a person that's not had any prior gun violations should ever be restricted from And I believe that...
well, that's an interesting point. It only takes one, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, I believe that only juries should be able to take gun rights away from people. Just say someone's an embezzler. That doesn't mean that he and his family, forever almost, loses their gun rights. But we're not doing that. We're just saying if you're a felon, you don't have rights to a firearm, and your family doesn't. So
well,
then...
to clarify, that's actually not true. There's only certain crimes where people lose their right to possess weapons, and that is after conviction. One of the things that we deal with, as you say it, so when somebody has been arrested for domestic violence strangulation against their spouse and come to the jail, you would want them to be able to keep a gun?
No, of course not.
But they're not convicted yet.
Well, that might be a temporary thing, but we're not having juries determine that. We're just letting judges, and they're real broad. They just say, listen, if you're a felon, you don't get a gun. That's generally. No, I'm not saying particularly, but we're restricting gun rights big time, and it's not right.
All right, pro-life, thank you very much. Sheriff Rennie, your thoughts on pro-life statement, we're restricting gun rights.
Well, it's actually not accurate. You can, by certain criminal offenses, lose your right to own a weapon. And if you're on parole, you can lose your right to possess a weapon. But that's actually pretty rare. The parole's not, but the actual loss of the right is pretty rare circumstance. People have that misunderstanding because they hear felon in possession of a firearm. Those felonies that are enumerated are actually just very few.
More coming up with Sheriff Rennie next at 580.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up 580 KIDO, Sheriff Rainey with us as we continue on. Sheriff Rainey, and I know this happened in Canyon County. We were talking about the cooperation of the counties, but this notice shooting. Where you have the clerk who was killed at the Jacksons, and I know your office is involved, the feds are involved, the folks in Canyon County are involved. It shows you that even in our beloved Treasure Valley that bad things can happen.
You know, probably 25 years ago, I remember I was in a class as a detective where the instructors were, I think from that time, one was from Miami and one was from Washington, D.C., and those were both high crime areas. And one of the things is just for some reason it stuck with me is said everything that happens in Miami and in Washington, D.C. happens in Boise, just not as frequently. And that's always sort of stuck with me that those violent crimes, we don't have the frequency, but they can happen here. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't hear about. That one is particularly disturbing. I mean, the ruthlessness of it and the disconnects of, you know, go in and commit murder for such a fundamentally simple theft of the safe, and then the safe's down the road and it never gets open, and what do they get for it? And you always wonder about motive. It's one of the interesting things in the law enforcement business is motive usually comes at the end of the investigation, but it always makes you wonder, how can one person really do something to somebody else so cold-bloodedly, so ruthlessly, so uncaringly? And I suppose as long as we're dealing with humans, it'll be the same thing. But, you know, this shooting last weekend that occurred in Boise. Without saying too much, here's a guy who doesn't really have any record that would make us think, oh, he was violent. And, you know, they'll release the details, but he started, everybody knows, started shooting pretty randomly and then not so randomly. And we'll wonder forever what caused him to do that because, you know, he's passed away now. The officers there just did a wonderful job of protecting that community and putting their lives in danger to make sure that everybody was safe. And then when some events happened and they had to return fire, they just did a great job. You know, the name's been released, Jason Green. Just we got the briefing yesterday. It was a textbook example. I told him that's something that we could use for training about how to protect the community.
Sheriff Rainey, we appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me be here.
Oh, yeah, well,
always good.
Too good of a job this time, but thank you.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
And welcome to Monday, I guess the last week of February. Dave Burnett, Kevin Miller here, the Manly Man segment at 580 KIDO. And Dave, how was your weekend?
Not long enough, but you know, that's kind of the way they always work. I'd like 3-day weekends. That'd be great.
I've had a kind of a horrible weekend.
Really?
And I wanted to start off with a couple of things outrageous. Not that I ever do that, but I wanted to start off with a couple things of outrage.
All right. Shoot.
Now, are you familiar with the one of those shows on one of those paid channels, Black Sails? You ever heard of Black Sails?
No.
Okay, well, Black Sails is a pirate movie, okay? And I'm not really a pirate kind of guy, but I kind of got into Black Sails, right?
Mm-hmm.
I liked Black Sails. Black Sails was really good and was great, and it was wholesome. It was about this pirates, and they're in the Caribbean and Nassau, the Bahamas, and they're pirates, okay? So they're doing pirate things. It's a real manly man show, right?
Okay.
So there's this one guy that I relate to. His name's Flint. And why do I relate to Flint? Because he's kind of pasty like me, and he's got like a peaked hairline like I do.
All right.
Okay? And I'm going, I keep telling Mrs. Miller, I go, dude, I'm Flint. Flint is the man. And Flint kind of has, you know, like all great protagonist, he has issues, right? Everybody hates him, but he always wins his back the crew and everything else. Okay.
Isn't he the lead of the show?
Yes, Flint. Oh, my right, boy, okay. Flint. Right. So we're watching, or I'm watching, because Mrs. Miller refuses to watch Black Sails, because Black Sails is not a family-friendly show, okay? So I'm watching it, and all of a sudden they talk about Flint and how Flint became Flint. He was a bad person, and I thought, well, because he cheated on his best friend's wife, right? And now the woman lives with him and all this. Well, lo and behold, we find out that Flint got thrown out of the British Navy because he's a gay pirate. I go, come on, man, why does Flint have to be gay? And not that there's anything wrong with that. And then I'm going, you know, what made True Detective so great, it was like in the 70s genre where men were men. So it turned into a whole commentary on acceptance and homosexuality. Because this guy, Thomas, Flint's boyfriend, who was married to Flint's lover, Thomas's wife, confusing, I know, stay with me now.
I'm with you.
So there's this big scene
where... Because I know gay pirate movies are my favorite.
Well, I thought of you when I saw The Gay Pirate. I go, I got to share this with Dave Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
This is how my life revolves around the Manly Man segment. So I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, and it says, true love knows no bounds, Thomas, and be true to who you are. And you know, Flint, I know why you're angry, because you loved him. And then they show him making out, and I'm like...
What network is that on?
Stars, Cinemax, one of those things.
Man, you got all the movie channels.
Well, I don't go anywhere, as you know.
I guess not.
Lon, you go camping, hey, look, there's a rerun of Boss on.
Almost wanted to go camping this weekend.
Yeah, you could have.
We thought about it. If I didn't have basketball Saturday, I would have.
So we've got that going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to basketball in a second here, because I do have a couple questions. But So I got that going on. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've got Flint. Why did they have to ruin Flint?
I guess to appeal to the gay pirate crowd. There must be a huge demand for it.
Apparently. But you see, that's how Hollywood gets to do their things and all. You know, and I thought this is a microcosm of what's happened, where they say, see, it's not so bad. See, the people that are bad are that put Flint's lover in the loony bin because they locked old Thomas away and told Flint and the other guy's wife, you got to hit the road.
You know what I do find interesting about this is that you slowly get numbed down to it.
Yes, that was my point, yeah.
To where
it's not so bad. At one time
you wouldn't even have mentioned it or even mentioned the fact that you had watched some of that. You would just would have turned that off and said, enough of that. And that's much like there's after on Channel 7, after their noon news, there's Days of Our Desire, or one of those shows that comes on a soap that has two gay guys that are always kissing, making out on it. Because it's on the TV monitor in here, because I'm watching the news at noon. It's like, oh, man.
Right.
And when it first happened, it used to be like, oh. Now it's like, eh, them again.
Them again, yeah.
Yeah, them again. So there you go. It's like Flint, eh? Gay pirate.
So we've got that going on. I had a chance to listen to the NASCAR race on Sports Radio 630.
Mm-hmm.
I was so angry. I don't like Joey Logano.
You don't like sliced bread?
No, sliced bread.
That's a nickname.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Oh.
I thought, and you know, too bad that crash happened. I think Kevin Harvick would have gotten him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was my weekend, really. Gay pirates and Joey Logano.
Sliced bread and gay pirates.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite the weekend you have. You have quite the life, Kevin Miller.
Apparently, yes.
No wonder Mrs. Miller likes working.
And apparently, yes, well, I was going to say something else, but that's an inside joke. We'll just let that go. So what about you?
Me? Actually, Friday, I had off. On Friday evening, I had off. We did a doubleheader high school district basketball game on Saturday. Worked out in the yard a bit on Saturday. And Sunday did some shopping and did a little work around the house. That was pretty much my exciting weekend.
Exciting stuff.
Didn't watch any pirate movies.
Well, I'm telling you. And then, you know, getting back to Gay Monday here, you got Neil Patrick Harris last night on the Oscars.
Didn't watch a second of it.
Well, you can't miss him. He's running around in his underwear.
I missed that.
Yeah, well, you just go to Drudge, go to anywhere, and there he is.
I don't want to see him in his underwear either.
Yeah, he's in his underwear, and, you know, then you heard on Fox News at the top of the hour, you had one director taking shots at HMS and DMS and DHS and the NAACP and AARP, where he's talking about quotas and immigration. Could we just talk about movies instead of politicians? I mean, politics.
It's been about politics for years and years. Every, you know, all the time. There's some sort of political underlying, especially with the Oscars, always.
Yeah, and then here's to the best and whitest, not best and brightest. Oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. Okay, I'm sorry, Selma didn't make it. There are a lot of things that don't make it, but do we have to continually go at it again and again and again? I just. It does us no good.
Well, what it tells me, and this happened not too long ago in the past, when they were upset about how white the Oscars were, and the next year it was extremely black. Denzel Washington won. I can't even remember what all it was, but it was like everything. And that's what will happen next year.
Well, they kind of get tired of the those type of movies. Like, they get tired of action movies.
I got news for you. Other than American Sniper, I don't think there's a one of them I watched.
I saw the hotel one, the Budapest one, and I thought I it was a very subtle, dry, witty comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to movies. See, I don't go to movies. I wait till they come on the channels there. And the Budapest one, I thought was, again, you had to have a brain. So most of the people in this building would not get it. Very subtle, double entendres, very well written.
But it didn't win.
Well, won 3.
Oh, did it? Oh, well, see. Again, I didn't watch the Oscars.
Well, for those of you that didn't, and Dave Burnett, let's have a little montage, shall we, of the Oscars last night.
Hey, your computer's working good again today.
Ooh, it's pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Well, hold on.
You going to sing Hooray for Hollywood? And on that note, here's Joey Logano.
I think that's Lady Gaga.
Please welcome to the stage my very dear friend.
Can you hear me?
Gazingo.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody was playing my buttons.
My beautiful, my wickedly talented Idina Menzel.
You got it!
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Look, it's great to be here. Who am I kidding? This is just great fun. Thank you very much.
Oscar.
Oscar could lead to living 5 years longer.
Glory.
So if you missed the Oscars, there you have it. Now you have this guy, Eddie Redmayne. He beat out Michael Keaton for Best Actor. He did Stephen Hawking. Did you see the Stephen Hawking movie?
Nope, didn't see it.
Oh, God, what was my first thought? My head was in a weird frenzied spin. I don't think I've even had a thought for about the past hour. I'm just sort of floating.
That was kind of like me when I was floating winning the Marconi.
No, you jumped up and down a lot more.
People wondered that, boy, they go, the Miller guy, he's got strong joints. To hold all that weight.
I didn't say that.
But you laughed.
I did laugh. That was kind of funny.
Well, we're trying to be a yuck-yuck crew here today.
That'd be good.
So
I would be your slappy sidekick.
We're all slappies here in this offense.
That's funny, Kevin.
that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, it is 548 here at 580 KIDO. We've got other issues going on. Big threat by ISIS saying they're coming to a mall near you.
Yeah, Mall of America in Minnesota is kind of the one that they're thinking, uh-oh, this may be the one that's vulnerable. But then they follow up with a report saying, yes, but this group really doesn't have the ability to get outside of Africa.
Sure they don't.
Which is it? I
mean, yeah.
You have people pouring over the border.
Yeah, not only pouring over the border, but it just seems as if I don't believe that we've upped our security. You know, I don't think that our security is where it is. We kind of are fairly lax. I heard at the top of the hour where they said, hey, Fox News, if you see something, report it. Okay. So what's the difference between that and profiling?
Well, the problem is then you have the general public profiling. I tend to think our local agencies, our local police department, our local sheriffs, that they are, you know, that they're working to be vigilant. I'm a little more concerned about our federal agencies and where they stand. Are we right back where we were, where the FBI doesn't talk to the CIA and Homeland Security, you know, are we back there now? I don't know.
I'm with you, but on the other hand here, I'm wondering, well, if I see something suspicious, if I see something, what, in an ISIS Rocks t-shirt, is that profiling? I mean, what is suspicious to me? Seeing somebody from one of those countries looking at structures or carrying a briefcase is suspicious to me.
Well, I think that is suspicious.
Now, is that profiling? I mean, really, how do you...
Well, yeah, it is. And you do the same thing every time you get on a plane that I do. You sit there and you watch everybody get on board the airplane, and I'm thinking to myself, I could take them. I could take, ooh, he looks dangerous. I could take him. Where's he sitting? And I sit there and I profile everyone. Oh, she's an old lady. Okay, we're fine. I profile everybody getting on the plane. Don't you do that?
I just worry about the seatbelt getting around my waist.
Good point. There is that. Depends what airline you're on.
Exactly.
Excuse me, could I have the fatty extender?
I haven't gone to that. I try not to.
I haven't done that either. But
I can't go there.
Yeah, that's always humbling, I would assume. I would starve myself for 3 days before I go on a flight.
That's right. You got to get training there. You got to do some training there. So we've got that going on. Other news of the day. I love how, Tory Lundberg. Gas prices have been up 13 cents last week, and they've been up 13 cents again. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what's the reason? Oil down below 50 bucks a barrel again.
In part has to do with refineries and the supply. But, and I would like to point out, Idaho has the second lowest prices in the nation, behind Utah.
Always Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Always Utah. Yeah. But I still wonder, what's the, why have the prices gone up all of a sudden?
Well, I think, you've had a slowdown of domestic production because the prices come so low it's not profitable to make it.
Or so, haven't they flipped over? Don't they do that scam as well where, well, it's winter blend and now it's time to go to the summer blend. We've got to shut everything down to flip it over.
No, that's coming. That's yet to come.
Which involves a price spike.
Yeah, that's yet to come. But I think maybe in part two because we're not exporting fuel as we were for a while there at the end of the year.
Hmm.
We were such a wash in gasoline, we're exporting it.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess. If it holds around, you know, 225, I'm still happy.
Well, yeah, until the diesel tax kicks in.
Yeah, that'll be great. Can't wait for that.
12 cents per gallon per diesel, I think 8 cents for gasoline.
That's what they would like.
Mm. Well, it's all about fixing the crumbling roads.
Well, you know what? If they did that, that'd be fine. But my guess is they wouldn't wind up using it for that. They'd be paying for some sort of program.
Going to use it for the schools.
It might be. Got to get some more administrators.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Hey, let's not go there too far today.
Okay. All right. That's probably a good idea.
Yes. We love the administrators. Mm-hmm. They're all good.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. But, yeah, so that kind of a weekend. It was a NASCAR weekend. Little high school basketball weekend, and off to the races we go this week.
Off to traffic.
Let's do it. Traffic now looking.
5:59 coming up next. ISIS threatens the Mall of America. How serious is that threat? Plus, which gun bill do you back? Let's talk. Kevin Miller.